You're going to hear the word saints a lot today. Well, it is All Saints Sunday. Our hymns and our readings reflect that celebration. Have you ever thought what the term saint really means? Just who are these people? Well, Roman Catholics believe that saints are only named by the Pope in a process that is first called beatification, and then as being declared holy, and then goes into being canonized, or sainthood. In the New Testament, the term used to reflect saints, here's your Greek lesson for the day, is hagios, which means holy ones. In the Acts of the Apostles, three of the four references to saints happen in chapter 9, in verses 13, 32, and 41. That will be on the final, in which Ananias and then Peter talks of the saints, and get this one, as simply being believers in Christ. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah, hang in. Paul speaks more of the saints in his epistles to the Romans, the Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and in Philemon. In each case, the saints simply seem to be people who name Jesus as Lord. You know where I'm going with this. In each case, these saints are people who love Jesus. In the book of Revelation, the reading that we heard this morning, the word saints, by the way, in all of Revelation, occurs 13 times, which is more times than in any single book in the Bible. And the meaning is further defined. Saints not only name Jesus as Lord, but they're faithful and true witnesses for Jesus. All right, let me ask you a question. Did you have something better to do today than come to church on a Sunday morning? Maybe you drove from Jacksonville. Maybe you came from the beach. Maybe you came from someplace else. Did you have someplace better to be this morning? But no, you know family is here. And that doesn't mean blood, except the blood of Jesus. You're here for a reason today. We're all here for a reason. Jesus said, "You did not call me, but I called you." It's no wonder that the early church considered people who were martyred for their faith as saints. And then soon these saints were bestowed special honor and then even worshipped by some. We find that today. Unfortunately, I believe the term saints came to be applied to those special people only. I believe that there's biblical evidence that the term saint is and should be referring to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know what that means. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
I'm serious, thank you. Good morning. You're here for a reason today. Again, Christ called you. To believe in Jesus demands obedience and following his will. A saint bears true and faithful witnesses to Christ in his or her speech, lifestyle, and actions. And yes, that might even be on the line at Hardin's. To be a saint is when a believer seeks to let the Holy Spirit let us reflect Christ within us. In today's reading that George read to us from the book of Revelation, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ to John, by the way, it is singular. Please don't ever call it revelations, or I will find you. Think of the movie Taken. I will find you. I am not, anyway. But it is revelation. John sees a vision of the saints of God. Can you just picture this? And the vision shows that the persecution is over for the believers. And God and the Lamb have already won the victory. The victory meaning that those who follow the Lamb are rescued from harm. The people who seek the Lamb's protection may well have to come through a time of great suffering, but they'll find themselves in God's throne room, worshiping and serving God all day and all night with great, abundant, and exuberant joy. And this vision occurs after John heard the list of 144,000. Don't sweat the 144,000. It's not a number that you need to know, but what it means is that it's such a big number that nobody could count. Think about that. A huge throng of people. They're clothed in white, symbolic for victory and purity. They're carrying palm branches, and welcoming the king as a further sign of victory celebration, and they can't hold back their enthusiasm. Really? Wow. They're shouting out their joy and praise and thanks to God and the Lamb because they've won the victory which has brought them their rescue. And it's important to know that the word salvation, you can look it up. The word salvation, which in Greek is soteria, soter is savior, in verse 10 literally means rescue. Think about that. Jesus brought us salvation. He rescued us from ourselves, from our sins. Wow. Listen to this. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." It's God who rescues us. If you think for 1 minute that you can save yourself, what are you doing here this morning? You can't save yourself. We have to realize in life that we are in need of a Savior. We can't do it ourselves. Very often in the Old Testament, the word salvation tends to mean the victory through which your rescue is won. And it would seem that that's just the case. The shout of praise continues into Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, which we heard this morning. They said, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." These saints recognize with great joy that everything good, noble, powerful, and wise comes from one place, from God Himself. And this is the awesome acknowledgement that there's only one God. With the uninhibited shout of praise to the God from whom all blessings flow. You know, one of my favorite psalms is also a hymn, but it's Psalm 95. And it begins with, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." That's verse 1. He's our rock. He's our strength and our source of rescue, our salvation. In short, He's our Savior. John is in the heavenly throne room. I can just picture this. And he describes it in verse 15, which we heard this morning. "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them." His tent is His tabernacle. That's a sound, that's a familiar word, meaning that He's drawn them in His family. You see, in Eastern world, when someone, a stranger, comes to visit, you bring them into your tabernacle, you give them hospitality, and you treat them like gold. You treat them like family. And that's what the image is here. God is spreading His tabernacle, His tent over us, to say that we're family, and to treat us like family. You know, we talk about this thing that people are going to go through. You know, that this the people have to go through a tribulation. Let me ask you a question. Is life easy for you? Have you ever been through stuff? Stuff that you think you can't handle alone? Stuff that is getting you to the end of your rope? A loss of someone? Or the birth of someone? There are things that it's a roller coaster. If that's not a tribulation, I don't know what is. But the fact that you call Jesus Lord helps you through that tribulation, and one day you will be in His throne room wearing the white that we heard about today. John's not simply looking on from a great distance when he tells us what he sees. He's right in there with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. And one of those elders speaks to him, asking him the question that we all want to ask: who are these people? And the elder gives the answer right away. They've come out of the great suffering. Some have been persecuted, as we prayed about this morning, the persecuted church. But let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever asked you a question why you're a Christian? Has anybody ever laughed at the fact that you're a Christian or made fun of the fact? Or have you ever watched some of the news today in which Christians are made fun of? If that's not persecution, I don't know what is. They've lived through a nightmare. and can now wake up in a glorious, fresh new morning. And the reason their clothes are white is not because they necessarily lived perfect lives of holiness and purity. Anybody fit that mold? I'm not in that mold. Every day I have to ask God's forgiveness. But it's because of the blood of the Lamb, the sacrificial Passover-like death of Jesus himself. He's rescued those people and us from the slavery of sin, making it possible for them to stand in the very presence of the holy and living God. You're able to receive the real presence of God this morning because you will ask for forgiveness and receive absolution to be able to receive the presence of God himself in Holy Communion. I want to suggest to you this morning that there's no need for a holding cell, called by some as purgatory. It doesn't exist. But that the death of Jesus Christ and their belief in him and our belief in him is all that is required. It's called faith. And God will not only allow them and welcome them into his presence, but he's going to shelter them in his presence, in his tabernacle, his tent, just as he pitched his tent for the Israelites during their wild wanderings in the wilderness, on the way to the land that was promised to Abraham and to them. All the blessings of the Jerusalem temple, in other words, will be theirs. As John is given a glimpse of the future throughout all of the book of Revelation, and he sees a vision of the new Jerusalem, God will protect them from the elements, from hunger and thirst. And in a wonderful role reversal, this is just absolutely magnificent. The lamb turns into a shepherd, assuming the royal role of the good shepherd and the divine role in Psalm 23, leading his people to springs of living water. It's in there. It was in that reading this morning. And an important image of the infinite love of Almighty God is that he himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hear that, folks. The character of Almighty God reveals an intimacy about that promise that I believe speaks volumes about the whole vision of Almighty God throughout all of Scripture. Yeah, God gets rightfully angry with those who deface his beautiful creation and makes the lives of fellow humanity miserable and wretched. But the reason he's angry is because at his very heart, he is so full of mercy that his most characteristic action is to come down from his throne and in person wipe away every tear from every eye. I think learning to think of God in this way, when we hear the term God, instead of instantly thinking of an eternal being that's just waiting for us to mess up and to keep score. His mercy is everlasting, and so is his kingdom. I want to close today with the words from today's Holy Gospel, in which Jesus, the Lamb of God, who sits on the throne, speaks of his believers, his sheep, as blessed, as holy ones, as saints. Jesus said, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that's how their fathers treated the prophets." That's the tribulation. We're in it. But there's a new day promised to each one of us, that Jesus Christ loves us enough to die for us and to call us to him. God bless you, holy ones. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.